We're all using the same ones. According to my notes, we finished page 16 or page 17, but I'd just like to recap a little bit from the beginning. He really could have made it very simple. He could have said, you know something, trust Hashem, everything will be fine. Don't worry about what you do, because what you do is really not that significant. Yes, there's a mitzvah, vishtadlus, you have to work, but that's not going to do anything for you. Everything's in Hashem's control, and it's his chesed and rachamim, and takes care of you to the degree that you put your trust in Hashem. He could have saved himself a whole book, but obviously that the goal of any of this learning is not just to intellectually get it, but to emotionally internalize it. And to internalize it requires pictures and effort and comparisons and analysis. And that's what he goes through. So he came up with He came up with this idea of comparing the Baal Bitochon to an alchemist. It seems that in those days, the alchemist was looked at as potentially the gvir in the community, because he had the ability, according to what he says, to take copper and to turn it eventually into silver and then into gold. So if you have the ability to turn cheap materials into gold, you got it made. So the Chovis HaLevavos chose this as a moshul to compare. The alchemist, you think, has everything. But look at his problems. Look at the comparison between the Baal Bitochon and the alchemist, and we'll begin to see to have a picture of the dynamics and the extent of the advantages of a Baal Bitochon, not just in a brief sentence or paragraph, a few words, but actually drawing pictures for us. So he starts by the first thing he says, that the alchemist, he says the alchemist has to, he knows how to turn, that's on page 13, he knows how to turn kesef to zohar, well actually the choshes to kesef and to zohar, and the choshes on the kesef with chochmo maise. But he has a problem. He says he needs all types of things for his malocha. If he doesn't have the raw materials, he can't do anything. So even though he has this secret formula to produce riches, but it requires certain other things that may or may not be available to him, Memela, his situation is not so simple. However, the Baal Bitochon doesn't require anything. He just turns to Hashem. Hashem doesn't need anything, any props, any raw materials, any assistance, anything. So Memela, you see, the Baal Bitochon has his advantage. But then he goes in graphic example after example. So here with page 170, Bahasheni, the second difference and the advantage that the Baal Bitochon has over the alchemist, Kibal HaKemio, Tzorech L'masim B'melochis. He has a lot of work to do. He has all kinds of actions to take in order to make it happen. Lo Yishlam Loi Hefzo Isulosom. If he doesn't go through all of these processes, chemical processes, and using all of the skills and tools and wisdom that he has, he's not going to have anything. What he's going to have is this copper, which is practically worthless. He says, first of all, he uses these furnaces, and he could die from the odor and from this smoke that comes out of it. It's a sakana to his life. I guess he was aware of things that took our generation until not that long ago to be aware of the dangers. He's going to spend so much time, day and night, working on transforming the nefeshes, the kesem, and the kesem dissolve, that he can get sick from it. The one who puts his trust in Hashem doesn't have to be afraid of any accidents, has to be afraid of any dangers, has to be afraid of any damage that would happen to him.
He's talking about not talking with other stars.
Well, no, he's not going into that yet.
When he contrasted to what Abotea, Pakel, That's without Ishtavus?
Yeah, in this prat, yeah, he doesn't have to worry about anything. He's not, he's contrasting each thing separately. Here he's saying one thing. You don't have to worry about this. There's dangers in the work of an alchemist. There's no danger.
He said, Yabitachon, instead of working, or
no.
Yabitachon, you can work and not be scared of the
future. No, he says the way I understand it, I can't say for sure, that he's not getting into involved whether you're, let's put it this way. If you recognize, which I think is his point, that the Bitochen and the Hishtavus are two separate things. The Bitochen is where it's at. The Hishtavus is a chiv that you have to do because you're not on the level of Rav Shur Bayochoy and the Ramban and maybe according to some Yosef HaTzadik that you could just trust Hashem and not do any Hishtavus. So we're not on that level. We have to do Hishtavus. We're not supposed to rely on miracles. We won't be able to have the Beis Halevi, says, won't be able to have the Bitochen unless we do some Ishtalos. I can't imagine that I'm going to be able to make fortunes of money but just sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. So, but that's not the issue. The issue is the one who goes with the approach to Bitochen, he has nothing to be afraid of. There's no dangers. This alchemist, even though he has this formula for creating endless amount of kesef, of enzov, gold, but besides the fact that he needs the raw materials, and about Bitochen needs nothing, he also has the great dangers in what he does.
So then you compare with them, Ishtavus.
What?
Then you compare Bitochen
with Ishtavus. I would sooner say he's not going into the issue of Ishtavus.
No, but it's Masha that he's comparing it with them. Okay, otherwise, don't you need raw materials even if you're about Bitochen?
No, you don't need dangerous Ishtavus.
No,
you can do anything.
No, not dangerous. You need raw materials, but you have to trust that you won't be dangerous.
Raw materials.
Ishtavus I'm talking about. You got raw materials, I need straw to make cement.
He's talking about the danger to the Baal
Bitochen. No, I get it. I'm just not sure how to say this paragraph.
Raw materials.
No, I'm just saying when he says Bitochen, he's...
Are the people around the table that are working with raw materials? I don't know. I work with raw kids.
I've got raw materials. Yeah.
I don't know.
Can we assume that a person never has?
He's right. He says if it's something that's dangerous, you don't have to do Ishtavus.
Fine. So I'm saying that's not be tough on versus no Ishtavus.
Okay.
I don't know.
He doesn't mention Ishtavus. I would say the Baal Bitochen doesn't have to worry because, like Yaakov says, he'll find the Ishtavus that isn't dangerous. Let's just see what he says. The Libay Botuach Mim Soharois, and his heart is sure that no evil is going to befall him. I mean, everything we do, we had so many. There are dangers in everything today. If you go to work on the subway, you know there's dangers. Well, Bitochen doesn't have to worry about anything. B'chol asher yivienu me'eso elikim yeloi l'sosur l'simcha, and he has something else. Not only does he not have to worry about dangers, but the Baal Bitochen, whatever Hashem will give him, will be a source of sosur l'simcha. Now, this I think is a very significant statement. And I think it's a little bit of a complicated statement too. What do you mean? B'chol asher yivienu. What happens if something goes against the hope that he had? It's about Bitochen. He wants certain results to take place. He wants to reach a certain goal. He wants to accomplish a certain feat, whatever it may be. And he doesn't get it. The Baal Bitochen, who's trusting Hashem, is in a different situation altogether because he could be happy with anything. Why? Because he knows that Hashem has his back. Hashem has his best interests. He knows that if I didn't achieve my heart's desire, that means my heart's desire was misplaced and would not bring me the satisfaction that I thought it would bring me. And rather Hashem, who knows better what my heart's desire is to be good, to have good and to accomplish and so forth, will give me something else. So even when I'm disappointed, no matter what Hashem gives me, this is not what I asked for. This is not what I wanted. This is not what I counted on. I lost the what do you call it? What's tonight? What do they have to the power with $1 billion tonight? You know, I didn't buy a ticket. I didn't make it. You know something? Hashem thinks I'm better off than that. So the Baal Bitochen can.
You don't buy it. You're not gonna make it.
What?
If you don't buy a ticket, you're not going
to
make it.
So Hashem could do it without a ticket too.
I have for years.
I know that he still does have a friend who buys for me every week.
Okay.
Yes, I don't know. Maybe
one is not coming.
You know,
you can find on the street.
Well, you don't have to buy one. You can just find
that. That's right. You find the street.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Some people are somewhere along this.
Yeah, okay, whatever it is. I'm just saying. But I will be. It's very important to see. Because what's the pshat? What's the real pshat? The pshat is the Baal Bitochen is not trusting Hashem that he's going to win. He's trusting Hashem's chesed. Memele, he feels confident. This is a very important point. David HaMelech said it in one sentence, which is half a sentence, actually, which is very, very profound. He said, "Bani b'chaste chobotachti, yogel libi b'shuasecho. I trusted in your kindness, and therefore I know that my heart will rejoice in the Yeshua." He didn't say he's trusting in the Yeshua. See, a person doesn't say, I trust Hashem is going to give me the Yeshua. No.
We're
waiting for the Yeshua. But the trust is not. The trust is in the Chesed Hashem. When we trust in the Chesed Hashem, we can await for the Yeshua. Because I trust the Chesed Hashem. So now, okay, it's coming. But it's very important. Because if you trust in the Yeshua and you don't get the Yeshua, then you're not going to be, as he says over here, yellow sosu l'simcha. Because I was trusting the Yeshua. But if you trust the Chesed Hashem, I trust the Chesed Hashem, and therefore I think I'm going to get the Yeshua. That's the way I feel. David HaMelech said, I trust the Chesed Hashem so much that I know I'm going to rejoice in the Yeshua. But if he doesn't, he's not broken because he trusted the Chesed Hashem, and that trust indicates to him, Hashem's taking care of me. Because my trust was in the Chesed Hashem, so I know this is Chesed. I trust that I'm going to have... I'm going to win the Powerball. I'm going to win. Okay, I trust. And I don't. So if I trust that I'm going to win and I don't, I'm very disappointed. I'm not happy. What I have to be happy about. But if I trust the Chesed Hashem, so I say to myself, hey, you know something? That wouldn't have been so good for me. Who knows what could have happened with that kind of, you know what I mean? You know, I could just imagine what, no, try to put it to good use. But anyway, like, so the Mela, if you trust the Chesed Hashem, you have nothing to worry. You can be happy no matter what happens. Because I know it's all chesed. The alchemist Nebuch, he has tzaras. Okay, the tarpei boel of the menucha v'hashket v'shalva, and besides that, his sustenance comes to him b'menucha v'hashket v'shalva, in with menucha, with calm and with quiet, and kimosha kosa b'nois desha yarbitzeni ame menucha yisinali. He leads me on peaceful. Restful waters, Hashem takes care of me. And this is also something very significant, because especially if we consider what you suggested, and we know the Chos HaLavavah Shita is that you have to do Ishtagos. You know, he's talking for the most people. Most people have to do Ishtagos. Most people are not on the level that they could be like. Rabbi Shmuel Choy didn't do any Ishtagos. Sat in the cave. Everything was provided for him. We're not on that level. We have to do Ishtagos. So the person has to do Ishtagos can say, hey, you know, it's not so poshut. I work hard. My work is b'noistesheh abitzein. It's with menucho v'hashket v'shalva. That's not what my work is. But the truth of the matter is, it could be. Because even if I do Ishtagos, even though I do the most difficult Ishtagos, I'm sweating, I'm working, I'm overworking. I come home exhausted. But the Baal Bitochen can still have menucha behashket v'shalva because I have nothing to worry about. Worry is stress is what destroys us. Physical labor, physical work, even if that's my ishtagos, that's not what destroys a person. It's the stress. No stress, why? Hashem is in charge. If my job is to pick up this heavy thing all day long like this, in a certain sense, if I know that Hashem is really in charge, it makes it happen. That's not... In my whole life, becomes easier because of the fact that you know, Hashem is with me, Hashem is helping me, Hashem is doing it for me, Hashem makes it happen. This is the life. This is the life of the Baal Bitochen. You know, I like to say, this is a little bit of an extension. I like to say that even in self-confidence, say a person has a certain measure of self-confidence. Okay. Right? So he was born with it, he developed it, okay. But if he has Bitochen and Hashem, that self-confidence is magnified exponentially because I can do anything. You know why I can do anything? Because I'm relying on the one who can do anything. So it gives me a different sense of, I got to be careful. I shouldn't think it's me. But I can accomplish because he's accomplishing for me. So it transposes the whole attitude in life into one of confidence, into one of peace of mind, because No matter, I could go through the most difficult things. I remember, you know, when I moved to the San Fernando Valley, it was a midbush moment. This is the mid-70s. And the furthest thing from anyone's mind was make me a yeshiva there. And the nicest thing they had to say was go home. And that was really nice. And I remember the financial strain was enormous. And so the people in the office used to say, why don't you take tranquilizers? So I said, I don't need a tranquilizer. I'm fine. Could be the people around who need tranquilizers. But no, because Hashem is with me. And I saw that at every step of the way, Hashem took care of us. It seemed the most unlikely, impossible, beyond the pale of anyone's rational hope. So it gives us a menuchas hanefesh even in the most difficult situations in life. A person has a big business disappointment. Mamish, he loses a fortune and he thinks it's all over. In reality, Hashem knows what he's doing. Hashem is, you know, I think he describes it very nicely, Moshe Reichman, when he lost their empire, in the biography, describes his attitude, the menuchas hanefesh that he had. He had a couple bucks left over, but that's besides the point. But the menuchas hanefesh, and someone walked into his office that afternoon, the Friday afternoon, when everything collapsed, and he's sitting there going about his business, just like nothing happened. If you have that connection to Hashem, you have that reliance on Hashem, and you have that realization that everything Hashem does is chesed, there's no tension. There's total menuchas hanefesh. So that's what he says that the Baal Beit Tochen can have over the alchemist. Let's go to the next one. Vashlishi, a third advantage that the Baal Beit Tochen has over the alchemist. Kibal hakemiya eino mamen al soidei zulosi. He cannot trust anybody with his secret formula because who knows who's going to steal it from him. He has security issues. He has problems. I have something. I better not let someone else get it. He says, he's afraid for his life. Not afraid of anything. No one's going to steal anything from me. No one's going to hurt me. No one's going to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me. Aval hu mispoyer boy. Not only is he not afraid, but he's in his poem. It's like he's bragging almost. He's, what's the word that he uses here? He's proud of it. Okay. He's proud of it. Like, I have nothing to be afraid of. Hashem is with me. There's nothing to be afraid. This is a tremendous thing because everybody has fear. Everyone has fear of competitors. Everyone has fear of losing customers. Everybody has fear of making less than smart investments. Everybody has fear of people. Have fear of losing a job. People have fear of all types of financial dangers, especially in today's world. Who knows? But not the Baal Beit Tochen. The Baal Beit Tochen has nothing to be afraid of. There's an election coming up. Many people are afraid, you know, and some would say that there's what to be afraid of, but not the Baal Beit Tochen. The Baal Beit Tochen is obligated to do whatever he can to make it work out good, but that has nothing to do with his state of mind. His state of mind is Hashem is in control. It says, "Leiv sorim u'malochim b'yad Hashem." The hearts of ministers and kings are all in the heart of Hashem, are all in the hand of Hashem. Hashem controls everything.
What's that not possible? I mean, everything's in the hand of Hashem. What? I never understood that possible. Why is it?
No, so I think what that means is because Melech ostensibly has certain powers.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, what's the
a president sits unaware with a little attaché case next to him that could push a button, and who knows what havoc he could wreck in the world.
Okay.
We see havoc that some leaders have wrecked in the world. So it looks to us like they do have a power. You know, they talk about the president, the most powerful person in the world. A governor in a state is the number one person. A mayor in a city, he's in charge. You might think, so he says.
Was that possible, Michelin?
I think so. But you know what that means? It means, hey, look at this guy. You think he has power? He has nothing. He can't do anything. So it's a whole different menuchas hanefesh. We're not afraid of anything because nobody can do anything because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the whole world. If he's the alchemist, then I guess the contrast is to show us he has what to worry about. He says he has to hold on to his secret. Somebody might mug him or break into his house and steal and break into his safe and steal all his secret formula. He always has something to worry. He has to hire security and this and that. And it has 14 alarms on the doors. And that's it. Hashem doesn't have to worry about anything.
Is it specifically talking about like in business or nothing?
I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is sort of focused on Parnos because the alchemist, what does he do? He makes gold. So it is talking, it seems like. Look, Parnosa is definitely the most universal concern that people have. Without Parnosa, you have nothing. Well, you don't have what to eat. What? Well, if you don't have what to eat, you don't have health, you die. You know what I mean? Well,
you don't have health, you can't eat.
Okay, but if you don't have what to eat, you won't have health problems for much longer.
Top five.
So, you know,
it's... No, but it's interesting. I know, it's a good point. Why is he not...
Because that seems to be...
That's one of the main things.
Look, that's the thing. We say every day, Paseches Yudechu Maspia L'chol Chayrotzen. That seems to be about Parnosa. Einei chol elech yisabeiru, v'aton osei lohem es ochlo b'itoi. Paseches Yudechu Maspia L'chol Chayrotzen. That seems to be a very, very universal... What?
Article make up that you have to have that shit on the main man.
No, it's what kind of
meaning, like, why is that the possibility of that term on the floor?
Why?
Why is, like, there are a lot of...
Must be able to call Cairo. Because must be able to call Cairo, so it's giving to everyone.
No, I think the Pshat is like this. The Chazal says it's a Medrash. The Medrash says, Gedoyla Parnoso Yoyse Migeula. Why? Because by Geula, sometimes it says Hamalach HaGoyos. Hashem sends an agent, a shliach, to do the geula, to bring about a redemption. He sends shlichus. It happens. A malach ha-goyel, other times it's malachim that have shlichus. He says, Parnosa, Peseach es yodecho. You open your hand and you satiate every living creature according to its desire, to its will, to what it wants. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is metapel with this b'chvoyde v'atzmi. In other words, I guess the way to look at
that?
What?
Why is that?
Again, I think that's the main sustenance of the Bria. The in terms of the Bria, the main sustenance is Parnosa. In terms of the Klal Yisrael, there's a second sustenance, which is equally as important, and that's the Ruchnius. Those are the two main things. Whether you need to have basic Parnosa, and I assume Parnosa probably doesn't only mean food to eat, but it means that the person has to say, Hashem is... Malbisharumim, Materasumim, Pekiach, Ivrim, all the, he has to have the basic needs that Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care of it. That's all part of that. And that's the physical world. And then we need the spiritual things. So I guess that's like the focus. But the idea is with Parnosa that Kodesh Baruch Hu does it himself. See, Basbi alachol, Pesach es yodecho. You open your hand. So then we have a problem.
Is that possible? It's
what?
It's only.
Well, it seems so because the pasuk before says, everyone looks towards you. That's what it seems to be. It seems to be talking about Parnosa. But I think the idea is something else. It's very hard for a person to imagine that it's only Hashem. You get a paycheck. Somebody signs the paycheck. You don't see Hashem's signature on the paycheck. You see the signature of whoever signs the paycheck. But that's a mistake. Because if Hashem didn't want that paycheck signed, there would be no paycheck. If the hour is late, but one of my favorite stories, as long as we're talking about this, is, and then we'll have to end over here, we were in Los Angeles in those years. I was there for 10 years. And it was, we had divided up the payroll between the Rebbeim's payroll on the 10th of the month and the secular teachers on the another day. I don't remember, so make it easier to handle because things weren't so easy. And it was the 9th of November this month. And a young, very fine Rebbe who was teaching for us, I walk into the office and he says to me, B'zeh halosh, I still remember today, I hear his voice. Nu, you think you're going to have the money for the Rebbeim's payroll tomorrow? So I don't know what came over me. I mean, he was really a nice guy, but he was a Ben Torah. He appreciated it. I said, I don't understand that question. It's the wrong question. What are you asking me if I'll have the money for your payroll? If you're supposed to get your payroll, you'll get it whether I have the money or not. And if you're not supposed to get it, it makes no difference whether I have the money. So why are you asking me if I'll have money for the payroll? It's the wrong question. All right, the next day came, the 10th of November. I didn't have a payroll. I needed $8,500 for the Rebbe's payroll. I didn't have any money. But we had inherited an estate a while back, and we were selling off some of the schira that we inherited, but to try to make a couple bucks. The mail for this estate was coming to the lawyer, who was the executor. I've been begging for 6 months to send in all the mail. Maybe they said, junk mail, don't waste your time. Okay. Finally, out of nowhere, 6 months I'm nudging this guy. His wife walks in with a box like this, full of mail from that came to the estate for the last 6 months. So immediately I look to see, smell a check there. And I found a check from 6 months ago for $1,000. In other words, we had shipped out some of this schira, and they sent us a payment to the lawyer's office. We didn't know about it. So I had to go to the shir. So I said to the bookkeeper, I said, do me a favor. Take a look. I doubt it, because I really, I could smell a check. But maybe you'll find something else. The kitzer, I come back after, she says, there was another check for $7,500. $75, I won, $8,500. I gave out the payroll. The bank was giving us immediate credit. And we paid the payroll, fine. The next day, I walk into the office. I say, I'm a little bit concerned. It was 6 months old, these checks. Those days, a check could be stale, the bank won't pay. I said, do me a favor, call those two companies and tell them that we put in those checks after all. She calls the companies and she gets the same answer. You sent us the schira. We sent you checks to the lawyers to that address. You called us a month later, said you didn't get the checks. We canceled those checks and we sent you other checks. We didn't know what we were doing. We inherited an estate with a bunch of yeshiva brothers. So the maisa, those two checks were no good. Anyway, that Friday night, it was benching. He said, who knows saying lechem l'chol boso? That's exactly what I told him. I said, if you're supposed to get your payroll, you'll get it when I have the money or not. And if you're not supposed to get it, it doesn't matter. I didn't have the money. I thought I did. The bank thought I did. In the meantime, the bank paid the payroll. A week later, I had to make good on the $1,000 check. And the $7,500 check, nobody knows how. It took 2 months going back and forth between a bank in Seattle and our bank until the bank called me one day and says, hey, remember that check, this movie, whatever? You have to make good on it. 2 months interest free loan. Exactly what I told them. Kodesh Baruch Hu is the zone of the
fire. What happened the next one?
What?
What happened the next one?
I guarantee you, miracle after miracle. I wrote a Megillah there once of all the things that happened. So that's what happens. If you put your trust in Kodesh Baruch Hu, then it's a whole different universe.